Blog Talk Radio.
This is Holy Living Nutrition, where we feed you the nourishment of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm your host, Dwayne Brassfield. Now, this is not a cookie-cutter show, so thick skin is required. But keep an open mind, and let's have some healthy discussions, amen? I am excited to share the Word of God with you today, but no matter what I say, always remember it is rooted in the Bible, the Word of God, the human manual, in which we should use to live our lives. So let's get started, because why? My opinion is irrelevant. Now, today's show, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit is waiting on you. So what you're going to do, right? A lot of people, when you talk about this topic, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is real it's a taboo subject in the Christian circles, because some get it and some are not getting it. I mean, they can't totally release to what Jesus calls the counselor to direct our lives to help us get through this mess we call life. I mean, when you look at it from a distance, right, you have some people who believe in the Holy Spirit and others that do not. And I can understandably see why that could be an issue. Why would that be? Because a lot of people don't get that it's about being in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. See? The fact is, adult believers often act as if the Holy Spirit really was hidden in the church basement, right? They may know something about the Holy Spirit, but they don't know him personally or realize that he is God in the same way the Son and the Father are God. When they read the Bible, many people are surprised to find that the Holy Spirit was at the very dawn of time. I mean, the Bible talks about it. The Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. I mean, many are amazed to find out that there are approximately 100 references to the Holy Spirit throughout the Old and New Testament. But nevertheless, the Holy Spirit's role is fundamental both to creation and the life of the believer themselves. I mean, when a person comes to Jesus Christ, he receives Christ into his heart. The Spirit of God comes and joins with the spirit of the believer. This indwelling spirit, it reproduces the life of Jesus in the believer's walk. And when you really talk about the Pentecostal experience, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was the secret to the power of the growth in the early church. It revolutionized believers and sent them as missionaries to the end of the known world. But see, over the centuries, the church started to drift from the supernatural anointing that marked the first century beginning. For once again, in the past 100 years, the Holy Spirit has been moving, just like Job promised. He talked about the afterwards, right? If you go into the book of Job, he talked about how the Bible says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. It says your sons and daughters will prophesy, and old men will dream dreams, and young men will see visions. I mean, even on my servant, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. That's in Joel chapter 2, verses 28-29. Now, let's talk about this afterwards. The afterwards speaks of what happens after repentance and restoration in God's people, see. Also refers to Christ's work of redemption at Calvary. It's twofold. There was a fulfillment on the day of Pentecost in the early days of the church. The supernatural move of the Holy Spirit in the past century has also been a fulfillment of those days. Yet there is still much to be fulfilled from Joel's prophecy. Our attention will be focused on what was it that was supposed to be fulfilled today. See, it is so important to put this event of our spiritual lives in proper order. Because everything that God does has structure. Everything that God does has order. If you take the humans, and you, let's set ourselves aside for a minute. Let's just look at the world itself and the ecosystem, how everything works. Everything has a place. Nothing that God does is confusion. This God is not a God of confusion. He is a God of order. See? So when you understand that, then what then is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is empowering for service, for us to be able to share the gospel with power. If you go back to Acts chapter 1, it talks about that. See, it is when the immersion of the Spirit takes over our life. To illustrate, if you drink drink water from a glass, right, and the water inside the glass, you can see it through a regular glass, no writing, you can see the water, right? And however, you know, if you went to the beach and you stepped and decided to scoop up some of that water, you can actually see what's in it. We receive it as we were a drink of the Holy Spirit that goes inside of us when we are saved. But when we are baptized in the Spirit, it's as if that initial drink becomes an ocean that completely surrounds us from head to toe. So you can put the water in a glass, right? And you can say, okay, that's my introduction to Christianity. But when you step into a pool of water and it covers you, that's the Holy Spirit. See? The Holy Spirit gives you so much more. And people may say, well, you know, that's not for me. You know, it's not available to me. That's not true, because the experience is available to all who believe. See? The world is facing a crisis, right? And in this crisis, we have to have that foundation, that counselor that the Bible talks about. Jesus said he sent the counselor to help direct us. But yet we don't tap into it enough to make any difference in our lives whatsoever. So why do we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Well, we need that power beyond ourselves for service and ministry in Christ's kingdom. When Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, he knew that his disciples could not fulfill this in their own power. Therefore, he had a special gift in store for them, and it was his plan to give them the same power that he had, the power of the Spirit of God. So immediately after giving them the Great Commission, Jesus commanded his disciples not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John the Baptist, you remember when John talked about them being baptized in water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit? He talked about that when he first saw Christ. When Jesus first came to get baptized, he brought that up. This one will baptize you with fire. This was before he even explained it to the disciples. He further promised that you should have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you should be my witnesses. See, we're supposed to be his witnesses to this. See, the disciples waited in Jerusalem as Jesus had commanded, and one day when they were all together, suddenly, right, the Holy Spirit come on you suddenly when you wait for him and you give yourself and you yield yourself to the Lord. So you may say, when may I receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, it can take place at any moment. It takes place at the moment you confess faith in Christ. As in the case of the first Gentile, Cornelius, right, in Acts chapter 10, remember that? But often it occurs sometimes after the salvation experience. So how do you receive it? Well, you only have two things to do. First, the first one is, once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you just have to ask God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You have to knock. It just doesn't happen, right? The Bible says, ask, and it shall be given to you. It doesn't just say you're going to just have the Holy Spirit on you. Second, believe you have, in fact, received this gift from God. without doubting. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians, said, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? That's in Galatians chapter 3. The answer, obviously, is faith. You have to believe that if you ask, you will receive. But do you believe that? Those of you who are listening to the sound of my voice, and you're wondering if this Holy Spirit experience is real, I want you to do me a favor. If you truly want to know if the baptism of the Holy Spirit is real, I want you to pray this prayer. If you sincerely desire to receive the baptism in God's Holy Spirit, repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, at this moment, I come to you. I thank you that Jesus saved me. I pray that the Holy Spirit might come upon me. Lord Jesus, baptize me now in the Holy Spirit. I receive baptism in the Holy Spirit right now by faith in your word. May the anointing, the glory, and the power of God come upon me and into my life right now. May I be empowered for service from this day forward. Thank you, Lord, for baptizing me in your Holy Spirit. Amen. Asked and received, begin to practice the power of the Spirit. An ideal place to begin is where the first apostles did, praising God in a new language. To do this, begin praising God out loud in whatever words come to you. Tell him how much you love him, thank him, worship him, and yield your voice to him. Now, let him give you new words of praise you never heard before. Praise him with those words too. You can find that this can be very a rewarding experience, right, of communication with God when you build your faith with him. See, it's a personal experience. There's nothing to fear. Some people fear that if they ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what they experience won't be authentic. It won't be an authentic working of the Spirit. But once they do ask for it, they are always glad they did. Trust me, I'm a testimony of that. Because I didn't believe in any of this stuff in the beginning. See, God doesn't cause us to do anything we don't want to do. And if your heart really don't want to do it, you can stand there at the altar and have your hands raised all day long. And if his gifts are good and perfect, like James says in chapter 1, Jesus said, now suppose one of you, you talked about the fish, right, about what you give, right? It says, suppose one of you, a father, is asked by his son for a fish, will he not give him a snake instead of a fish, right? See? Son asked for an egg, give him a scorpion, right? He said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's in Luke chapter 11. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is even better gift than any material gift you could ever receive, because what I've found is that the Holy Spirit helps me make decisions. You know when I make bad decisions is when I'm not paying attention and not listening to the Holy Spirit. That's when it gets me the most. Because at the end of the day, I sometimes we all get caught up and consumed with ourselves, and we don't take the time to listen. If you want to join the discussion, you can call me at 213-943-3434. What are your thoughts on the Holy Spirit? What do you believe, right? The gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians that the Holy Spirit would manifest itself among them in special gifts, of which speaking in tongues was one of them. This is not things that I'm saying, guys. Believers, this is not my opinion, because I say before, if you know me, you've been listening to my show, my opinion is irrelevant. I read scripture. We talk about scripture. right? And I don't read a scripture. We read scriptures because you can take things out of context when you just read one scripture. But if you don't read what happened before you got to that scripture and after, you can be misled. And this is what's happening in the church today. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, when Paul continues, he says, I do not want you to be unaware. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another distinguishing of spirit, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the biggest argument I have with so many people who use this whole speaking in tongues thing as a way for them to look spiritual or to put themselves in a position to give you the illusion that somehow that makes them closer to God, right? How did I get saved? I got saved. It was described in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 through 25. See? It says, pursue love in verse 1. This is 1 Corinthians 14. And desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. See, when the Bible talks about tongues and prophesying, it puts prophecy at a much higher level. Yet you don't see that. You see more people in these churches speaking in tongues, but where's the prophesying? Because the prophesying is for the Christians, but the tongues is for the unbeliever. It says, for he who speaks in the tongues does not speak to men, but to God. But is that what you see in the church? Because you see a lot more people that you see speaking in tongues, right? For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Let's go to verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and comfort to men. Verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. He says that in verse 5, he says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more, listen to me now, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. See, tongues must be interpreted. It's not some spiritual thing to make yourself look holy or to give the appearance that you are some sort of, look, we're not using the Holy Spirit as some sort of benchmark of who's holier than others, right? But the question you may be asking your church is, where's the interpretation? I have actually seen people start speaking in tongues and new believers walk out the church because they don't understand. Yes, it's edifying yourself and others who believe like you do, but in a church setting, are you edifying the lost who are standing behind you? People say, well, this is about me. Then you're out of order because that is not what Scripture says. Scripture says that when you're speaking in tongues, it's between you and God. And for you to say, if they don't understand it and this is my thing, then you're being selfish and you're being wrong and you're not following Scripture. In verse 6 of that same chapter, it says, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with a tongue, what shall I profit? What should I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophecy, or by teaching? Am I reading a different Bible, saints? Can somebody help me with this? My number is 213-943-3434. Tell me if I'm reading this wrong. Because according to what I'm looking at, the Bible says you need to have an interpreter so you don't stumble people. In verse 7, it says, even things without life, whether a flute or a harp, right? When they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how would it be known if it was a pipe or played? It says, for if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, in verse 9, so likewise, like you, unless you utter by a tongue words to ease understanding, how would it be known what is spoken? for you will be speaking into the air. In verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks. For he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Now, I'm not jumping around, saints. I'm reading exactly what Paul wrote. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, in verse 13, it continues, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So what is the conclusion then? In verse 15, I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I would also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the unformed say amen if you're giving of thanks, so he does not understand what you're saying? For you indeed give thanks well, but the others are not edified. So, yeah, you could be giving thanks personally to God, but how are you edifying the others around you? This is in a church setting, saints. I thank my God, this is in verse 19, that I speak with tongues more than all of you. Listen now what I'm about to say in verse 19. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words of my understanding, right? Let's go back. Remember, 19. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. So he's saying, I would rather speak five words of understanding, right? He talked about prophecy, than 10,000 words in a tongue. So if you're doing all of this speaking in tongue, but you're not prophesying or speaking understanding or teaching, he says, I'd rather have just five words of understanding, 1,000 words in a tongue. Why is that? Because tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. It's not for you and I to be manifesting in church as though we're some sort of holy rebels. That's not what it's about. And people are not following scripture. This is why I don't get into all this denominational stuff now, because it's all based on people's opinion. Go to scripture. What is the foundation of God's word? Because if we're not going to read scripture, what's the point? Tongues is a sign to unbelievers. Go to verse 20. It says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. See, we have to understand that it's not that speaking in tongues is not edified today. It's that most of the people you see doing it, I question if they really are doing it. Because one, they're not following the instructions that Paul gave. When you go to some of these churches, right, and you see all of this stuff going on, you say to yourself, where's the prophesying? Because prophesying into somebody's life is harder, right? Because it can be looked at as being, oh, well, that's not what I did, or that's not what I've done. See? Because prophesying, you really need the Holy Spirit to prophesy. But see, speaking in tongues, you can have people standing there just throwing out a whole bunch of gibberish, and it appears as though they're holy. But where is the interpretation? Where is the understanding to the non-believer? Because the whole point of tongues was assigned to the non-believer. It's not me, church. Read scripture. Go to verse 20, and you tell me if you read that entire chapter that you see anything that Paul is saying. Some churches are, and I apologize to those of you out there doing it that way. But I've seen a lot of churches stumbling, a lot of folks looking very holy, doing a whole lot of tongue talking without any interpretation as the unbeliever are looking at you, and he says, will you not look to be mad? It says that therefore tongues are a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. He says, but prophesying is not for the unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, in the whole church, come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those who are uninformed and are unbelievers, will they not say to you that you are out of your mind? And this is why I saw people getting up out of the church and walking away, because here's the thing. You are stumbling those who are unbelievers, and they think you're out your mind. And you're speaking in tongues without interpretation. You're not prophesying. You're doing all this in front of non-believers, and you're out of order. And I'm not telling you anything that I've said, because, again, I'm going to say my opinion is irrelevant. But what does Scripture say? Because either all of it is right or none of it is right. And you need to start checking in your church to see which one are you falling under. Are they following Scripture or are they not? And it's not some of it, it's all of it. Either you're following it or you're not. It says, but if all prophesy in verse 24, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secret of his heart is revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Why? Because if you're a stranger and you come in somebody's world, right, prophesy in your life, and they say things about you, and I'm not talking hocus pocus like the fortune tellers. I'm talking about real things that nobody else can explain, not generalities that can cross over a whole lot of folks, right? There has to be order in the church. It says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each one of you have a psalm, right? He says, of teaching, and have a tongue, has a revelation, and has an interpretation. He says, let all things be done for edification. Let's go to chapter verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, here's the key, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. I see people and ladies speaking in tongues next to me in worship service, and you can tell it's just about them and their God. It's not about them all out, and you see this in the pulpit. And it's about the personal connection. It's just between them and the Lord. That's what Paul said. That's what Paul said. That's what it's about. Putting ourselves in a position, right? You want to get the Holy Spirit, you have to be persistent. You have to be persistent, but you have to knock, and you have to do it in according to the word of God. In closing, at the end of the day, God wants to dethrone us from the sin of our own lives, that we might live victoriously fulfilling God's purpose. So what are we waiting for? Get yourself into a good Bible-based church that uses the Bible as the foundation. Don't worry about if you don't understand. Seek Jesus, and he would open up the doors to everything you ever dreamed. Until next time, this is Dwayne Brasfield, Holy Living Nutrition. See you next week.
G-O-D. God, homie. K-Joe on the mic. B-Fat on the track. Inside of me.